الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Last week we talked about the fact that falah, permanent success, requires purity. Permanent success means that success after which there's no failure. And the only success which can fit that description is the success of entering into Jannah. It's the only time that an individual will say, I have truly succeeded. Now we have all these successes in this life, and they tend to encourage us in order to keep us going in this life, but the reality is that those successes are not permanent. No matter how successful a man or woman is, eventually they pass away. That's the ultimate failure. So, just looking at it broadly, the only permanent success and the only success with which there will be no failure after will be that when an individual enters into Jannah. They'll no longer have to worry about failure, they'll no longer have to worry about a potential punishment, and they'll understand when they enter that realm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to bless them and allow them to partake of the benefits of Jannah for an infinite time. So that is permanent success. And we talked about the fact that what is required for permanent success is purity. Basically, this premise is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. His Jannah is pure. And anything that enters into His Jannah has to be pure. So it's very simple. It's a very simple concept. And if an individual is to be placed into Jannah, they will have to be purified in every single manner. For example, the physical body of a person will have to be pure. Now, we're not going to have the same body that we have here in Jannah. But if an individual was lax about the way they purified themselves in this life, it is certain that they will be purified through punishment someplace down the line. For example, if you read through hadith, you find that the Prophet ﷺ once walked by a grave, two graves, and he said both of the inhabitants of this grave are being punished. Why? Not for anything big. Not because they had committed some major sin. But instead, one of them was not careful when they used the washroom, when they relieved themselves. Now, what happened? That individual was not careful in this life about their bodily purity. So when they entered into the grave, they came into a circumstance which will purify them for the hereafter. If that bodily impurity made no difference, then they would not be purified in the grave. So the grave is acting as what? It's acting as a means to purify an individual who was not careful about bodily purity in this life. Similarly, what was the other person being purified for? Telling tales. He was being punished in the grave for telling tales. A means of purity, right? That punishment in the grave. Again, the tongue was not used properly. The tongue has a purity that's associated with it. It is designed. Its goal, its purpose is to praise Allah, is to raise Allah, and is to exalt His great name. Whether that occurred through salah, or whether that occurred through saying bismillah before you eat, or whether that occurred through saying assalamu alaikum to your brother, or whether that occurred through smiling at one another. All of those things are part of the sharia, but those are the uses of the mouth and the tongue. Now, either that mouth and tongue is purified in this life, or it'll be purified in the hereafter. The extremity of that example is an individual who uses their tongue to associate partners with Allah, or who uses their tongue to deny the fact that a hereafter exists. Now, that person's tongue will be so purified on the Day of Judgment that when that hellfire is placed before them, that's the time they'll say, oh, I was wrong. That's the time they'll say, subhanAllah, and they'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, to give them a second chance. Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Ya laytani Kuntu turaba. Would that I were dust. That's what the people will say. The same individual who stood up in front of people and was talking about everything except the greatness of Allah, on the day of judgment, when they see the reality of what's happening, then they'll be asked to be made into dust. That day their tongue is purified. Now their tongue is speaking truth. Now their tongue is in accordance with reality. So, either we purify our organs here, or we get purified there. Very, very simple concept, and it applies to everything. In fact, very interesting hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. An individual who has even an iota of pride, an atom of pride, will not be able to enter Jannah. What is that saying? It's saying that that individual's heart contains some impurity, because all praise was for Allah. And instead, there was a tad of praise for themselves in their heart. Now, what does that mean? That means their heart is just a tad impure. There is an atom of impurity in their heart, in that they had that much pride, and that person will have to be first purified before they enter into Jannah. So you can just see how inclusive this principle is. Now, here the issue of the impurity of the soul arises. Right? This is actually what the ayah is saying. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Verily, he permanently succeeds, the one who purifies it, yani the soul. Now, if you think about the soul, you can ask yourself, how can I purify my soul? Right? In this world, how do we purify something? If something gets dirty and you want to purify it, you take it, you put it in a bucket of water, you scrub it, you rub it, you dry it, and then it's clean. So, obviously, we know we can't do that with our souls. You can't just stick your hand in your body, pull your soul out, wash it, and put it back in. It's impossible. That's not the way by which the soul is purified. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain paths to the soul. There are certain means to getting to the soul. And if those means are pure, then they wash the soul and make it pure. And if those means are impure, then they continue to soil the soul. So actually, the issue doesn't lie with the soul itself. Although that will be what is judged on the Day of Judgment. But the issue lies with the path to the soul, and they are multiple. For example, one of the paths to the soul is the tongue. Whatever the tongue says, it has an effect on the soul. If the tongue is pure and speaks good, it benefits the soul. And if the tongue is impure and is misused, it impurifies the soul. Now recognize that Shaitan, he understands this ayah better than us. Right? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He understands this ayah and he understands its counterpart. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And he fails the one who soils it. Right? He fails the one who soils it. So what's Shaitan's goal? It is to cause us to soil our soul. Now, how does he do that? He doesn't just come and pour lead on you. What he does is he causes you to misuse the path so that that leads to impurity leading into the soul. For example, the tongue like I gave. Right? Now, what is the goal of the mu'min? What is the goal of the individual who seeks purity? It's to use their tongue in every way that's good. And that's very, very broad. Number one, praising Allah. We do that in salah, recitation of the Qur'an, tasbihat, du'a, etc. Right? And like I said, saying salam to one another. Proper use of the tongue. Standing up when someone needs to be defended. Proper use of the tongue. Standing up in front of a tyrant. Proper use of the tongue. All of these are channels by which the tongue can be used, and when the tongue is used in these beautiful ways, it automatically creates one faucet of water that pours over the soul and continuously washes away what mistakes might be within that soul. Now, on the other hand, if the tongue is misused, right, then that ends up creating a flow of najasa that actually hits the soul and impurifies the soul. Now, how can you misuse the tongue? Basically, in this day and age, opening the mouth is a misuse of the tongue in the vast majority of cases. Lying, deceiving, exaggerating, boasting about oneself. All of these are common things that we find within our own just daily routine. It's the habit of the tongue that when it has the ability to move, it slips and falls and goes in directions that one cannot even begin to imagine. Especially in the matters of criticizing one another. right? And especially in the matters of putting down one another. So this then creates a flow of najasa that ends up entering into the heart. Now, what's the vast majority of people are in some countercurrent. There's a little bit of good going in, there's a little bit of bad going in, but the goal of the salik is to purify the tongue because that is one of the essential paths. And how do we do that? The best way is the dhikr of Allah. And then after that, to continuously, in the state of dhikr, in the state of consciousness of Allah, to become someone who uses their tongue properly within society. And that's a whole lengthy lecture which we're not going to go into. Okay, so that's one pathway to the soul. Another pathway to the soul are the ears. What the ears hear creates a flow. Basically, you can think about it this way. There is constant flow going from the ears into the soul. Now, either that flow will be pure or that flow will be impure. And that is up to the salik to decide how they want to use their ears. And that's basically, we have to make that decision. Now, either we make, listen to what's pure. What's pure? Good talk between brothers. Encouraging one another towards the deen. Listening to recitation of the Qur'an, right? Listening to a talk about the deen. These are things which are pure. They create a flow of pure water that enters into the soul and purifies it. What impurifies? Listening to garbage, whether that be backbiting, whether that be music, right? Whether that be things that we deem as minute, but actually have a huge effect on our soul. And actually, this is a mistake. Many times we deem these things as minute. Right? We just say, oh, this is just a sin of the eye. So I misused my eye. But actually the problem is that the eye connects to the soul and the soul is your essence. So while it was just a small sin of the eye, just a glance, actually what that does is that impurifies the soul and that takes a lot of effort to purify. It could take years to purify that impurity. Then we say, well, I know it was a small sin. So why was it a small sin, brother? It was a small sin because I didn't really feel it. It's not like I killed someone. If I killed someone, I would have felt really bad. I just listened to something that I shouldn't have listened to while I was driving home. Right? Or I said some things while I was on my phone, which I shouldn't have said while I was driving home. Or I looked at some things while I was sitting at home and relaxing on the monitor that I shouldn't have been looking at. We think of those things as minute. Why? Because we say that, well, I didn't feel the effect. If I would have killed someone, I would have felt bad. Right? If I would have done something very wrong, I would have felt bad. Actually, the reason why we don't feel the effect is not because there's no effect, but it's because it's like poisoning the poisoned person. When the soul is already poisoned and basically barely hanging on to life, and then you dump najasa on it, it's not going to make a difference, right? When someone's dirty, let's say there's a kid, he's playing out in the mud, right? If that kid is playing out in the mud and you take mud and you throw it on top of the kid, it makes no difference. He's already covered with mud. What difference is it going to make now? So that's actually the example, and what we have to recognize is that these small things, they have a huge effect. Not because inherently they affect the eye, or they affect the ear, or they affect the tongue. There will be no physical change on those objects, or on those organs. But because they tie into the soul. And when the soul is damaged, that actually becomes the essence by which we're judged on the Day of Judgment. So lightly looking at something on TV, thinking it's not having any effect, it's not having any effect because we're already poisoned. But actually, if you ask anybody who works towards true purification of their soul, when they see something they shouldn't see, or when they hear something they shouldn't hear, or when they say something they shouldn't say, it has such a detrimental effect, they feel like they're being stabbed in the heart. They feel it. Physically, they feel as if they're being stabbed in the heart. So it's very important for us to control these paths to the soul. Similarly, what another path to the soul is the feet. The place that we use our feet to take ourselves to has a huge effect on our soul. Now, if we take our feet and we use our feet to go to do good, like visiting the sick, right? Like feeding the people who are hungry. These are the threads that tie society together. Feeding the sick, visiting someone you don't know. Right? One thing that the Prophet ﷺ was able to do in the most incredible way was that he took these odd pieces of fabric and he sewed them together into a society. What do I mean by odd pieces of fabric? In the sense that these were a group of individuals, the companions prior to their companionship, who were fighting with one another constantly.
They were killing one another, they were fighting with one another, they were constantly bickering with one another. And the Prophet ﷺ came with such a thread that he was able to take each of those individual tribes and stitch them together into something called a society. And that society became a model society. So the actual thing you have to ask yourself is, what thread did the Prophet ﷺ use to paste together that fabric? What unique thread did he have? The unique thread actually was his interaction with the community. When he went and he visited the sick, that was a thread that he tied between that individual and himself. And he would visit whether he knew the person or didn't know the person. In fact, when you go to visit the person that you don't know, that's actually the most powerful threat. That's when the individual says, wow, that brother didn't know me. He came to visit me, and it creates such a huge love that it's very, very difficult to crack that, to tear that apart. So anyway, again, the feet are a path to the soul. The hands are a path to the soul. So much so that every time we shake hands, we know that it purifies the soul. Ajib. Ajib in this deen, that when two people shake hands with one another, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that handshake is so powerful that sins drop between the two brothers in the same way that leaves drop from a tree. SubhanAllah, so what's going on? The sins aren't on the hand. I don't see the sins on my hand. The sins are in the soul. But when those two people shake hands with that niyyah, it's such a pathway to the soul that it ends up resulting in that person's sins slowly falling from their soul. So it really behooves us to understand this chemistry. Because when you understand these equations, that's how you're going to understand about how to purify your soul. So many people ask the question, how can I purify my soul? How can I become someone who's closer to Allah? How can I attain depth in my salah? How can I be one of those people that on the day of judgment, they attain falah? But actually, this is the issue. And that's exactly what the Sharia highlights. The Sharia is actually the detailed book of how to use one's organs. Throughout the Sharia, that's what you find. The eyes should be look at this, they should not look at that. The ear should listen to this, they should not listen to that. The hands should do this at this moment, at other moments they should not do that. The tongue should eat at these times, at other times it should not eat. You should speak at these times, at other times you should not speak. The vast majority of the Sharia is this. The vast majority of the Sharia is using one's organs in a state of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because those are the paths to the soul. It results in purity of the soul, and purity of the soul by default results in falah, results in permanent success. So it really behooves us. Look, you're not going to just wake up and say, I want to purify the soul. You have to understand the components. And then you have to tackle the components individually. Now, I'm not saying you're going to tackle all these components in one day. You have 30 years, you have 40 years, you have 50 years, you have 60 years. Allahu alam how long we're going to live. But Allah gave us some period of time in which to work on these issues. Right? Nobody's expecting a change overnight. The niyyah to change has to be made overnight. That needs to be an instantaneous thing. Inshallah, if you have that niyyah and you pass away tomorrow, you get rewarded for your niyyah. The niyyah needs to be made immediately. But the changes take time. You're human beings. We're all human beings. It's acceptable. In our minds, we make the niyyah that we want to purify ourselves, and we're going to spend our time learning how to become pure. And then over this period of time, this thing called life, it's over this period of time that we then spread our efforts and make an effort to become pure. So for some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq more quickly. For some people, it takes a little more time. But in the end, everybody has that ability, because that's how Allah created us, with the ability to become purified. And I'll tell you, this is the hardest thing. It's very easy to become a physician. People say, oh, it's so hard, you have to go to this many hours, and you have to do this many hours, you have to do this much work. It's not hard. It's not hard, you can do it. Most people can do it. It's not difficult. Creating a physician is not hard. Creating computer programs is not hard. Creating computers is not hard. Building planes is not hard. Building a space shuttle is not hard. Being a rocket scientist is not hard. Making human beings is hard. Taking an animal, right, who has all these animalistic tendencies, and then trying to make that person into a human being, that's actually the challenge. And it was for that beautiful purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets. I mean, which hadith explains E equals MC squared? That wasn't the purpose of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actually, the Prophet ﷺ came to take people out of their animalistic tendencies, the misuse of their organs, because that results in impurity of the soul. and to place them into a situation where they purify their organs so that they can purify their soul, so that they can return to a pure state, so that they can return home to the place called Jannah. Actually, that's what we are. We're a bunch of wandering people seeking our home state. That's how you want to look at life, and that's how the Prophet ﷺ described life. Right? Be like a traveler. What does that mean? It means we don't recognize anything. I'm a traveler. You know, have you ever traveled in a foreign country? You look at people, you don't fit in. You hear them talk, nothing makes sense. You go places, you're not even sure where you are. You're looking, constantly looking at maps and trying to figure out what's left and what's right and where can I get this and where can I get that. That's what we are. We don't belong here. We have no permanent place here. We're looking for our way home. Imagine you're a traveler, you're trying to get yourself to the airport to get home. You're asking everybody, how can I get home? People are telling you, this group of people, see them, see those group of people, they're walking to the airport. Just follow them and you'll be fine. Those are the Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ, and the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in ila akhirihi. Actually, that's all we're doing. We just see this chain of people who are just following the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ, and we're just walking behind them. Now we know that they're going home, and we're just following them because we want to go home as well. And that's exactly our situation. Nothing really makes sense around here. You see all these people diving into the dunya, trying to achieve things in a place where achievements don't mean anything in the end. Except when they were done with taqwa. Except when they were done for the sake of Allah. And then you try to follow this path and you don't find happiness. Then you try to follow that path and you find that there's no permanence there. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, gives us the tawfiq to follow this group of people, and that's where success lies. And this is what they teach. This is what we learn from our teachers, and this is what we pass on to the next generation. So actually, this is just a long chain. And we're just looking for our path home, and the goal is to return back to Jannah. The unfortunate thing is that in order to get into Jannah, you have to purify yourself. It's not easy, you don't just enter immediately. Right? So it requires a little bit of effort on our part to not become soiled as we make that journey. That's it. The vast majority of the sharia actually asks you to refrain from a few things. Not much more. You pray 5 times a day to remind you about your journey, and the rest of the sharia is refraining here and there. Right? So, once you fulfill these few aspects, it's very easy to stay on this path and inshallah return home. But you gotta hang on to this path. Because if you're not on this path, you're going to fall off. Eventually, if you're on this path, you'll end up home. But if you start trying to dig your own path or follow other paths, eventually you're going to get misled. So, recognize that the organs are the key to the soul, and the purity of the soul is the key to Jannah. And the Shaitan, he recognizes this. And so that's why the corollary, قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, that was the second half of what I recited in the beginning. He fails the one who soils it. So soil the paths to the soul. Just be very lax about what you eat. If we're lax about what we eat, the results will be laxity in the purity of our soul. Be lax about what we say. Be lax about what we do. Be lax about how we use our time. Be lax about where our eyes go and where our ears go. And then in the end, what ends up happening? We end up soiling the soul. قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. And that's the worst failure. Because you only have one soul and it can't be replaced. And that soul will be weighed on the Day of Judgment. And it will be placed permanently in its abode. So better to purify it here rather than to suffer the purity of the soul in the grave or on the Day of Judgment or, na'udhu billah, in the fire of Jahannam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who purify our organs and to use them in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deemed them to be used. And may He give us the tawfiq to be among those who refrain our organs from being used in the way that Allah, that earns the displeasure of our great Lord.